Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. Darren Beatty talks about a latest development out of the January 6th committee. Also, Heidi Ganahl running for governor in Colorado, who's being attacked by Democrats in her primary, trying to elevate her opponent. That and so much more. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA Today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. Get engaged. Get involved with our Student Action Summit, which will be in Tampa, Florida, July 22, 23, 24, tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com/SAS. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So there's a lot of questions about what's happening this summer. And I'll be very honest, I haven't watched a second of the January 6th primetime committee. I do know one person who is watching it very closely and also has a phenomenal piece out at revolver.news, and that is Darren Beatty, who has done some of the most rigorous and I would say important investigative journalism, legitimately important investigative journalism in the last couple of years. Darren, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back. Thank you for having me, Charlie.
So, Darren, I haven't watched the primetime committee hearings. Can you just give our audience, I don't think our audience has either really, what have they been talking about? Do you believe that they're building momentum towards a criminal conspiracy case against Trump? Give us the update.
Yes, and in fact, look, you're not missing anything by not watching it, and I wouldn't recommend anybody waste their time watching it, because as I've stated on your program before, what's important about January 6th is what they're not talking about. And so you're not going to get anything of value from them. But you might get something of value from this latest revolver.news piece, because it really explores this latest push of the January 6th committee toward criminal prosecution. You're hearing a lot of commentators say, oh, what's going on is this is an audience for one, which I guess for them would be good because it's been a ratings flop, actually. And that one person is Merrick Garland, the attorney general. And the idea is the committee will serve up effectively an indictment for Merrick Garland to use to prosecute Trump. Now, the political dimensions of this are manifestly scandalous and inappropriate. For the regime, the Biden regime, to hang over the head of Trump, who is the presumptive GOP nominee, Biden's presumptive political rival, to hang over his head the possibility of criminal prosecution is really outrageous. But when you dig in to the deep history of the January 6th committee, you really find something remarkable. Now, there's a name, Norm Eisen, which people may have heard of because Revolver.news made him famous 2 years ago. He is the former ethics czar for Obama, a hatchet man, a legal hatchet man. He was the architect of the impeachment. In fact, he wrote up the impeachment before Trump's nothing burger call even happened. He's been there since day one. And actually, he turns out to be a color revolution operative who literally wrote a book called The Playbook on how to oust foreign authoritarian regimes. And he's using every step in that playbook against Trump. And he's been doing it since 2017. Well, as it turns out, Benny Thompson actually sued Trump, Giuliani, the Oath Keepers, and the Proud Boys in his personal capacity. He sued them according to this outlandish conspiracy theory, literal conspiracy theory, whereby Trump colluded with these militia groups to criminally incite in its insurrection. Now, this lawsuit was initiated in February of 2021, so barely a month after January 6th. Mm. Now, Benny Thompson is not known for his brains or for his work ethic necessarily. And so it's not Benny Thompson sitting in his basement coming up with a legal theory that's ready to go barely a month after January 6th. No, you have to look at who his counsel is. Who's the counsel who actually came up with this theory of January 6th that was the basis of the lawsuit? It was a guy called Joseph Sellers. And you do a little digging, as we did in this piece, it turns out Norm Eisen is good friends with Joseph Sellers. And it goes beyond that. Norm Eisen and Joseph Sellers are longtime lawfare collaborators against Trump, dating all the way back to January of 2017, when they worked together to sue Trump on this ridiculous theory that the possibility that foreign dignitaries would stay at Trump hotels was a constitutional violation. So Norm Eisen's friend and frequent lawfare collaborator is literally the author of the personal lawsuit by Benny Thompson that later became the basis for the January 6th committee. Eisen's fingerprints are all over this. In fact, we cover it in great detail. He joined an amicus brief directly with Benny Thompson. He sued various militia groups according to a theory that very closely follows the lawsuit. Just the fact that Benny Thompson personally sued Trump under a theory of the case in a normal world should be disqualifying for him to run this ostensibly objective January 6th committee. But no, he goes on to do it. And what this piece does is it uncovers the hidden hand of our erstwhile infamous color revolution operative, Norm Eisen. He is also the lawfare architect of the entire January 6th operation. Wow. It's an extension of the impeachment proceedings that failed. And really, the whole purpose of this is to kneecap Trump politically so he's not a factor in 2024. And that's what's going on with all of these recent revived calls and urgent calls for criminal prosecutions stemming from the investigation of the January 6th committee.
You bring up an interesting point that throughout the last couple of years, we've seen incredibly, let's just use a nice word, creative legal measures towards Republican opponents, like the emoluments yes. clause. And mm-hmm. so what you're saying, though, is that there's an architect that is the one that tries to find, it kind of goes back to Cicero saying, the more laws, the less justice, right? So there's right. all these laws on the books, and then you control the people who enforce the law. They're able to find some sort of technicality to be able to silence political dissidents, even though people on their side are never actually held to that standard.
Right, exactly. And lawfare is a key pillar of the overall sort of color revolution strategy that Norm Eisen was following from the beginning. And in fact, I know a lot of your listeners will remember the days of David Brock and the infamous memo on basically how to overthrow Trump before he even came into office. Mm-hmm. Norm Eisen's lawfare outfit crew was featured prominently in those leaked documents from David Brock. And Norm Eisen has been on it ever since. And I just find it remarkable, though not surprising actually, that Norm Eisen and his lawfare buddies, dating all the way back to 2017, literally just days after Trump was inaugurated, these are the same people who are the hidden architects of the January 6th committee, and more specifically of the recent push to criminally prosecute Trump, which would have the effect of taking him off the table for 2024, which is really the goal of all of this anyway.
What could be done about this, Darren? This revelation's important because I think when we shine a light on it, their deeds that were done in darkness are then made public. Any other thoughts on what we actually need to do about this?
Well, I think you need to go to revolver.news and read the piece.
I agree.
And share it. The important thing about this is that, you know, we've covered January 6th and, you know, federal involvement, all this. This really gets to the lawfare angle and really what a scam the committee itself is and how deeply riddled it is with multiple conflicts of interest. As I said, the idea that Benny Thompson personally sued Trump back in February, claiming that he incited the riot, and then he goes on to chair the ostensibly objective committee, and moreover, that Norm Eisen is the hidden hand in the lawsuit to begin with, it just shows, not that we need to really know, we already know in our bones it's a sham, but this is the specific evidence that you can read and you can share with anyone who's brainwashed by the mainstream account who actually thinks this is a legitimate fact-finding proceeding.
Darren, keep up the wonderful work. I have a feeling you're not done. I have a feeling you're going to have some more investigative pieces coming out soon. One of the few outlets that actually does the tough work, Revolver.News. You guys should go ad-free on there, too, and support them. They're terrific. Darren, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, Charlie. Thank you.
Thank you. Now The Economist, financial magazine and newspaper, has said the stock market lost over $1 trillion so far this year. You heard that right, $1 trillion. Facebook has fallen out of the top 10 of tech stocks, and all the markets have the jitters. Like you, people are really worried, except those with gold and silver as their backup plan. They know that with precious metals in their IRA, they'll be fine. Noble Gold has thousands of clients who have safely invested with them. Most heard an ad like this and called the experts, not a call center, but specialists who will give you your options. And for the month of March, with any qualified IRA above $20,000, you get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin or a 5-ounce American the Beautiful silver coin for anything over $50,000. You know what to do. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com. Matt Walsh did a wonderful thing when he created the movie What is a Woman, one of the best political, I don't even want to call it a political documentary, one of the most common sense, best common sense documentaries I've seen in quite some time. What is a woman? Well, that question used to be very easily answered by the American left. They used to be able to say an adult female that has the ability to menstruate and have children. Not exactly a difficult question to answer. Now, all of a sudden, you ask that out of women's rights activists themselves and trans activists, they say, well, we can't answer that. Now, we've gone into great detail here on this program regarding the tragedy of the death of female sports. Now, we have said for a while, though, that we believe there will be a breaking point to this ideology. As the locusts continue to try and eat away at the institutions, the bedrock, the foundations of civil and Western society, you always must wonder, where is the breaking point for such insane ideology? Well, we recently saw the breaking point for violent crime in San Francisco with the removal of the district attorney, Chesa Boudin, where he was removed from office by a voting demographic that's only 7% registered Republicans. Every bad ideology eventually can hit a shattering point. You're all for defunding the police until you have to call the insurance company for the 7th time in a month because your car keeps on getting broken into and the local police do not want to come by and they just say, yeah, look, there's nothing we can do about it. Now, the ideology of transgenderism or the ideology of the destruction of women's sports and the inability to pinpoint what a woman is something that has been moving at an incredible pace. Almost no one has had the courage to stand up against it and say, stop. Even though 95 to 96% of people disagree with the fact that biological men should be able to compete against biological women in sports. It gives an unfair advantage in every possible way, from increased testosterone to muscle mass to bone density. And incredibly, over the weekend, and I don't know if this ruling is going to hold. We'll see if the Alphabet Mafia is able to launch a counter attack against this, an insurgency. But remarkably, the International Swimming Federation voted to restrict transgender participation in elite women's competition. This story right here, and we'll be following it in the days and weeks to come, is the first piece of evidence that I have seen of a mainstream, powerful body that has stood up to the otherwise undefeated transgender community. The trans community seemed to get everything they wanted. Now, yes, of course, not on local levels or in conservative states. I'm talking about a massive, otherwise woke, pandering institution. The LGBTQIAS plus in Pride Month seems to get whatever they want. And what an interesting month for the International Swimming Federation to choose to do this. In the midst of Pride Month, they decide to take a stand for biological women. Play cut 17.
Meanwhile, transgender swimmers now are restricted from competing in elite women's competitions. Swimming's world governing body announced yesterday it voted to adopt the new policy, which takes effect immediately, begins today. It requires transgender swimmers to have completed their transition by the age of 12 and to remain below a level of circulating testosterone in order to compete in women's events. FINA says it's working to establish an open category for swimmers whose gender identity differs from their sex.
Don't you love how they frame it? They say, oh, they're restricted. Now, why would MSNBC do that? Because they have to immediately turn what is a triumph for team reality into creating a new victim group. Like, oh, now they're stereotyped against. They're disenfranchised. I could just hear some trans activist going on MSNBC. This is the same as separate drinking fountains. Of course, none of that is true. So self-evident that if you are a biological man, you should not be able to compete against women that do not have the same testosterone levels, muscle mass, or bone density. And Thomas, otherwise known as Leah Thomas or William Thomas or whatever, we just say Thomas, the biological man who thinks he is a woman, who cheated his way towards a national championship. It was so flagrant. It was so public. It was so brazen that even now, the otherwise undefeated trans lobbying movement now just posted a loss by the International Swimming Federation. Let this be a sign that that entire power structure is crumbling. It's really out of control. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Your cash is getting sucked right out of your wallet with higher prices on gas, groceries, practically everything. Look, you got to take charge of your money right now. So here's a principle that we say. Don't use the big banks that hate you. Bank of America is canceling conservatives. A team member that we have at Turning Point USA literally just had his bank account shut down by Bank of America. Literally no longer allowed to use Bank of America because of his politics. True story. So when you want to consolidate your debt and use equity in your home to do so, to lower your monthly expenses, you have to use my friends, Andrew and Todd, at andrewandtodd.com. You have to know what you're going through. So look, I just had dinner with Andrew and Todd in Orange County. We had a great time. They love the Lord. They know the Bible super well. They're ethical. They're beautiful people. They really are. They're wonderful. And Andrew and Todd aren't brokers. They're bankers who handle your refi loan personally from start to finish. And they're always in your corner. In fact, they're helping me with a problem right now. Just all this nonsense with interest rates and all this are helping me clarify it. They're phenomenal to work with. They're responsive. They're Christians. They're conservative. It's andrewandtodd.com to beat inflation by lowering your monthly expenses and protect your greatest asset, your home. So don't use these woke banks. Bank of America, again, my team member, I'm not going to say his name. You guys know him. He's been on our show. Literally, Bank of America sent him a note saying, we are no longer allowing you to bank with us. Boom, like that, all because of politics. Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage share your values. I trust them. That's why I work with them. I hang out with them casually, and I've got to know them really well. They'll treat you right, and that when you use them, you're not using Citibank or Chase or these people that hate your values, that believe in this trans nonsense. Don't use those banks, diversity, equity, inclusion banks. Nope. Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. So just write that down right now. Write it in your phone. You might say, oh, Charlie, I don't need to refinance or whatever. Well, maybe you will 2 months from now. Maybe you young millennials out there, maybe the millennials listening to our show, my fellow millennials, you're going to buy a home soon. Maybe you're getting married and you want to buy something. It's andrewandtodd.com for a quick mortgage checkup. Use the equity in your home before it's too late. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Stop giving money to people who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com love the Lord. They love America and they're great friends. So I encourage you to use them as your go-to partner for anything mortgage related. Stop using the banks who hate you, andrewandtodd.com. So I've known our next guest for quite a while. She is a fighter, and she is running for governor of the beautiful state of Colorado. I've said for a while, I said this to my team, if Colorado was a little bit less Marxist, I would totally live there. I love Colorado. It's a beautiful state with wonderful people. But she is going to try to change that. I've endorsed her for governor of Colorado, and she had my back and the back of Turning Point USA for many years, and we've done a lot of amazing things together. And that is Heidi Ganahl, who is running for governor of Colorado. Heidi, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie, it's so good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
So I want to talk to you about a couple things about your race. But first, I want to try to nationalize this for our audience. You're mentioned in this article in the Wall Street Journal, Why Democrats Are Funding the GOP Fringe, about how some of your opponents are actually getting benefit from Democrat super PACs. This is something that is now happening in more and more primary races across the country, where Democrats are inserting themselves into our primaries. Tell us about this and tell about how it applies to your race.
Yeah, it's been crazy the last few weeks. We've found out that the Democrats are putting about $3 million into our race for governor, our primary race. So they're trying to pick their opponent, and they certainly don't want to run against me. That's very evident, as the polling looks great for me going up against one of the wealthiest guys in Colorado who's destroying our state here. And I am a fighter. As you said, I am ready to take it to the mat with Jared Polis and win back our beautiful state. But he wants to keep me from even getting through the primary by dumping millions of dollars into the Democrat Governors Association and another organization, Progress Now, that he helped found a few years ago.
Yeah, and so they run these ads that on a surface it looks like they're attacking the candidate, but they actually might be boosting the name ID. For example, they'll be saying something that your opponent's opposition to abortion and gay marriage is too conservative for Colorado. So it kind of has a dual attack on this, right? It boosts the name ID. So a super conservative might be looking at this and say, well, I want someone who's really conservative. Help us through that.
Yeah, on the TV, it says he is too conservative for Colorado, and it lists out all his conservative credentials, which most of us would agree with. And it makes it look like I'm the one attacking him when it's really the Democrats trying to play kind of a reverse psychology. They're doing this in races across the country, but here in Colorado, they're doing it in the governor's race, in the U.S. Senate race, where we have a good chance to take out Michael Bennett and help us win back the Senate, and also Congressional District 8. And we're starting to get the word out, but a lot of folks that vote don't watch TV a lot, don't listen to conservative radio. And it's going to be just, hey, I saw that guy's ad and I agree that he's pretty conservative. And wow, I don't like that he's being attacked, so I'm going to vote for him. And then they're also doing mailers, probably, I think, $1 million at this point of mailers that are dropping that say, you know, that he's pro-life and Jared Polis is pro-choice and that he's the pro-Trump candidate. And just trying to boost his name ID, because name ID is a lot of what this is all about.
And this is an important thing. I just want everyone in our national audience to understand this. And it doesn't just pertain to Colorado. There's reports that this is happening in Illinois. This is happening in other places. I know for certain it's happening in Arizona, by the way, where we live, where Democrats will try and pick the opponent they think they can beat. And they don't want to run against you, Heidi. You've won statewide. You won statewide in 2016 when Trump won. Trump lost. He won the presidency, but he lost Colorado. And they're really afraid that you might be able to actually give Polis a run for his money. I believe Colorado is actually in a realignment chapter right now. I think it's far more politically liberal than it actually the people are. I think that it's being represented way out of line. Talk about how Colorado might experience a pretty significant red wave and why they're so afraid of your candidacy.
Well, I won a few years ago statewide in the regent race at the University of Colorado. We're one of four states that elects our Board of Regents, and I ran for at-large. And I beat this gal named Alice Madden, who is one of Jared Polis' right-hand people that helped run the blueprint, we call it in Colorado, which flipped Colorado from blue back in the mid-2000s. And so everybody said the same thing back then. He's got too much, or she's got too much money. She's got too much clout. You can't beat her. And we did. I beat her when Hillary Clinton and Michael Bennett took the state by quite a few points. And that's because, you know, I'm all about small business. I built Camp Bow Wow, the franchise company, the largest pet care franchise in the country. So we've got the dog factor. I'm a mom of four. I have twins that are 10, a 12-year-old and a 26-year-old. I've been on the front lines of education reform, whether it's being a regent in higher ed and trying to bring some balance to crazy Senior Boulder, but also opening charter schools and making sure that school choice is on the front lines of our discussion here. Because 60% of our kids in Colorado cannot read, write, or do math at grade level. We have one of the highest suicide rates across this country for kids and the second highest drug addiction rate for kids in Colorado.
And it's really interesting. This is something that we talked about last week, which is, I believe there is a political realignment happening where Hispanics are starting to come in the Republican direction in record numbers. Now, Colorado, I believe, is 18-19% Hispanic, which is more than what people would guess if you just think of Colorado. Talk about how Hispanics are starting to defect from the Democrat Party. And I believe that's making Polis rather nervous. That kind of reliable Hispanic base is all of a sudden probably being put into question, isn't it?
It is. It is. The Hispanic voters in Colorado care a lot about family values and faith and community, and education is really important to them, that their kids get a good education. 5%, only 5% of Hispanic kids in Denver public schools can read at grade level right now. That report just came out a few weeks ago. Parents are really ticked off. We also have one of the highest inflation rates in the country right here, even compared to the national average. People can't afford to live in our state anymore. And Jared Polis thought it was a good idea to bring the new Green Deal to Colorado. And he's decimated our oil and gas industry here. And we produce some of the cleanest energy on the planet. But he'd rather us be not energy independent and go to Iran, Russia, and Venezuela to buy gas and oil, which is ridiculous.
And it's also unpopular. If I'm not mistaken, every time fracking bans get to the people of Colorado, they vote them down, don't they?
They do. They do. And they actually voted it down. And then Jared Polis in the legislature a couple of years later put it through regardless that the people voted it down. They do that all the time. And now we have one of the most obnoxious, disgusting abortion laws in the country right here. Abortion until birth. Jeez. That is not how the people of Colorado are telling me they feel about that issue. So that's something we've got to go full on and turn back here.
So in closing, Heidi, how can people support you? And I want to just make another plug. I'm enthusiastically behind you 100%. I was at a dinner in El Paso County and some guy came up to me running and he says, Charlie, want to run? I said, I'm not talking to you. I'm behind Heidi. Have a nice day. And anyway, I don't remember who it was, but it was a nice enough guy. It's nothing against him. But Heidi, how could people support you? I've known you for many years. You'd make a phenomenal governor. And the fact that Democrats are running ads to boost your opponent tells me everything I already knew. But tell our audience about how people can get behind you. When is Election Day?
Thanks, Charlie. And I've loved being in the trenches with you, trying to push back on our liberal, crazy colleges across
yes.
this country. But they can go to HeidiForGov, HeidiForGov.com. We need volunteers. We need donations. We need social media help. Oh, my gosh. Republicans need to get better about fighting back on social media.
Yes.
So help there would be great. But thank you so much. I'm going to win this regardless of all the millions they've dumped in. I'm a fighter. Been through so much in my life. This is just one more roadblock to winning back our beautiful state of Colorado and making it sane again.
Amazing. Heidi, God bless you. We're behind you. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie. Have a great one.
So email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to play some tape here. There's something happening in Virginia. I hope Glenn Youngkin starts to take a page out of Ron DeSantis's book. Youngkin won a decisive victory against Terry McAuliffe. We're glad he did. He's done some very favorable things and some positive things, but I think there's a lot of fight left that we can expect from Glenn Youngkin. Because there are some things happening in Virginia that are completely and totally unacceptable. Cut 21, Fairfax County, Virginia, school board makes it possible for students to be suspended if you misgender your classmate or another student. Play cut 21.
Here locally, the Fairfax County School Board voted Thursday night and made it possible for students as young as fourth graders to be suspended for, quote, malicious misgendering. Now, the terminology here can be confusing. 70-plus page handbook for students. Misgendering is, quote, the act of labeling others with a gender that does not match their gender identity, meaning if the student is going through a transition and you refer to them as their previous gender, then you're in violation. Now,
you could be suspended from school if you misgender somebody. You know, I remember when Jordan Peterson, with his suspenders on, took to the streets of Toronto four or five years ago. I remember all these people were sending me these clips of this guy that I didn't know at the time. I was like, who is this guy? And he was for hours so passionately going through student by student, telling them what the ramifications would potentially be if you forced somebody to say something against their will, about how speech, dialogue, dialogos is critical. It's fundamental to our existence. And Jordan Peterson was He pulled the alarm for all of us. Now, Jordan's been wrong about the vaccine, amongst many other, wrong about gun control, but it is, he deserves such credit for being early on the transgender for speech issue. And now we're seeing it manifest in our own schools, where if your child misgenders somebody else, they could be potentially suspended from class. I'm sure a lot of you are wondering how you can learn about things that are good, true, and beautiful. Well, I've talked about Hillsdale College for a while, but look, there's a video I want you to see. It's the trailer to Hillsdale College's newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. We talk a lot about current events on the show, but some things are more important than today's news. And C.S. Lewis was a master at addressing life's most important questions through vivid language that's entertaining and fascinating. You may know Lewis as the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, but he's also considered the greatest Christian apologist of the 20th century. As a radio host, I appreciate Lewis's ability to communicate and inspire. In fact, not a lot of people don't know this, but Mere Christianity, his book, began as a series of radio messages. Hillsdale's free online course covers C.S. Lewis's profound insights into good and evil, prayer and the Bible, and even heaven and hell. And did I mention his course is entirely free? So go watch the trailer video of C.S. Lewis on Christianity and sign up for this new free online course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Look, charlieforhillsdale.com, you guys should go there at least once a week. You guys can get online courses, sign up for Imprimis, learn about Aristotle, learn about the Constitution, learn about the Declaration, learn about the Federalist Papers. It's charlieforhillsdale.com. Again, Charlie, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. Okay, I want to get into some of the drama here that is going on between Fauci and DeSantis. First, let's go to cut 19. Fauci says when you're he's talking about masks again. Now, again, masks, in our personal opinion on this program, masks are not about epidemiology. Masks, especially masking children, is about making sure children do not have a memory of freedom. The first person who made this argument was the great Candace Owens at one of our Turning Point USA campus stops. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. If a nation does not remember freedom, how can they restore it? If a generation has never experienced freedom, how could they ever fight for it? If all a three-year-old knows is having a cloth mask over their face their entire existence, they'll be less likely to challenge authority, more likely to submit to authoritarianism. Play cut 19.
Hopefully, the more people that get vaccinated and boosted and the more people that realize the importance of when you have a high level of viral dynamics, that when you're in an indoor setting, you should wear a mask, even though the whole world, including the United States and the UK, are just worn out and tired by this outbreak. It isn't over yet. People need to realize it is never going to go back to zero. That's not the nature of this virus.
Never talking about natural immunity, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, vitamin D supplements, intravenous therapy, ozone, aspirin. All of these things have shown to potentially be successful interventions. But Fauci is just so focused on masking you and your children. A tyrant wants to make people unfamiliar with one another, is what Aristotle wrote 2,500 years ago. When you are masked, you're less likely to think independently. It's literally harder to communicate. It's harder to sympathize with your neighbor, to even know who you're talking to. I believe it creates a meaner country. I think the more we mask our society, people are less likely to be charitable, generous, patient, and benevolent. Now, you contrast Fauci, who in my personal opinion is the best possible example of the outgrowth of the fourth branch of government, an unchecked, unelected, unknown bureaucrat who is able to reign tyrannically over our freedoms and our liberties. You check that against Ron DeSantis, who stands in opposition to Anthony Fauci and says, we do not believe in some abstract ideology. We follow the data. Florida Surgeon General Joseph Ladapo opposes COVID vaccines for children younger than 5. Do you know we are the only country in the world now to jab 6-month through 2-year-olds? Most of Europe is against jabbing children. Some countries, no jab through age 30. Why is it that our country is accelerating into the arena of trying to jab children? Why are none of our Republican leaders asking the question, why should we jab three-year-olds? You could be pro-vaccine. You could be pro-COVID vaccine. You can have whatever informed or not so informed opinion that you want on this topic. But there is no data. There is zero substantiation for why we should judge eight-month-year-olds, except to try to give vaccine companies liability protection to get it on the childhood vaccination schedule, which gives them permanent tort lawsuit protection against the potential population to sue against adverse events and effects. The pathological obsession with trying to vaccinate children against a disease or a virus that does not even have a significant risk against them. Why? Who's asking this question? Rand Paul is, praise God. Josh Hawley is, praise God. Where is the Republican Party cross-examining and check and balancing the FDA and the CDC and NIH and asking, what the heck is going on here? This is not a sane policy. We stand alone with other nations who were worse on the COVID response, but they even think that vaccinating nine-month-olds is pathological, evil, and wrong. God bless Governor DeSantis, and we need other states to stand like Ron DeSantis. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.